On this feast of Saint Joseph, the Church has given us three biblical readings to ponder besides this beautiful psalm. The first reading recalls God's promise to David through Nathan when David wanted to build a house for the Lord. Look at me, I'm in my wonderful palace and the ark of the Lord is in the tent out there. And Nathan said, do what is in your heart. But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan and said, go tell my servant David, did I ever ask the people in the desert to build me? Did I ask the judges to build me a house? Yeah, I took you from caring for your flocks. And I don't need your favors. I need your obedience. And then he said, in effect, because he loved David so much, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house, the house of David. And so he said, there'll always be an heir of yours on the throne. Now, there wasn't for a while. And if you read Psalm 89, you know, all of a sudden he's talking about the covenant with David, and then, but you've rejected us. We have no king. It's a beautiful psalm, faith psalm. Faces reality like it is and talks to God about it instead of trying to gloss it over. Oh, I guess we got a kingy somewhere. No. But the promise, you see, was fulfilled in Jesus, the son of David. Now, the quality of Joseph that I want to look at for a while is just. He's a just man. Very interesting now. What is a just man? Who is a just man? What makes a just man? Well, the second reading from the letter to the Romans tells us, right? Who is the just man? Abraham. And why is he a just man? Because he believed God, and it was credited to him as justice. And Joseph is a son of Abraham, and not just a son of David. And so, if we look at this text today of this story, the word that stands out, I think, is this word. Just. It rings so beautifully even to this day in the Jewish tradition. A tzaddik. A tzaddik. An utterly upright man. Not just treats his neighbors and his friends and his family with righteousness, with compassion, with generosity, but he trusts and believes God. That's where it all comes from. So you just heard the gospel. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through or by the Holy Spirit. She was found with child through the Holy Spirit. So when Joseph found her, she was with child through the Holy Spirit. She told him that. And the result was, he believed her, of course. He knew her. He said, whatever is going on here is beyond me. This is too holy for me. And he trusted God. And he said, God, I'm going to pull out. This is, you know, I'm not going to expose her. I'm just going to let it go quietly and withdraw. Just like Peter did. When the Lord gave the miraculous catch of fish, and he said, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Just like the centurion did. Lord, you know, I don't want you under my roof. I'm, you know, you're too holy. Now, this understanding of that he just wasn't upset and decided to divorce her some clever way, or, you know, this is in the fathers of the church. I'm going to read, if I have a moment, this passage from St. Bernard, who sums it up and says, this is the opinion of the fathers. Makes a big difference, doesn't it, how you look on this? But he's a righteous man. That means that he loves God. And that he has courage. That's what righteous means. And he sees this, he's before this mystery. He believes this young woman. his fiancée, you know, actually in that culture, already his wife, he believes her. But he retires. He's like, no, this is beyond me. That a child be conceived by the direct action of God, this is too holy. A righteous man. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife. There's no other way. What do you mean? Why would he be afraid to take Mary his wife? Unless he saw this holy reality going on and withdrew out of reverence, out of fear. Because it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He's just a man. And took his wife into his home. Now, we had time and we don't, to just think of what that relationship must have been. The holiest human being who ever lived, and the next to holiest in this house. Loving each other, caring for their child who is God. Think of that, this righteous man. Think of the courage inside that man. Think of his trust in God. You know, it wasn't until the 20th century that we said, oh yeah, maybe we ought to make him patron of the church. You know, he was a nobody. Didn't bother him at all. Righteous. There's a quality about that word. It's the way a man loves God. I can't say anything else. It's the way a man loves God. Loves him. Sticks with him. Obeys him. Trusts him. Like Abraham, he believed God. And he was considered a just man. It was credited to him as righteousness. The heart of Joseph's life is that trust, that belief, that yes, sir. And at the heart of that is this fire of love for God. And this humility. And this waiting on God. In this time of the church, it would be wonderful to invoke him again. He's the patron of the church. Give us that kind of righteousness. Raise up men who are men, who are righteous, who love you, God, who are loyal to you, who want you more than anything. And want your glory and your will and your plan more than anything. And pray for that. Well, we don't have time, but you'll believe me, the Saint Bernard says what I said, I suppose. And so did many, many other fathers of the church and many modern commentators today about that surprising turn of understanding that part of Joseph's intention. Pray today for the church. Pray today. You want to know what authority is? Look at Joseph. An intrinsic authority, because he is a righteous, just man.